isn't it? Have you ever been in a meal where people start having an argument in front of you and you just feel like, okay, I just want to leave now? I think it's time for us to go. And we get a kind of sense of this. And I really like the story because it's a very human story. That Jesus goes around some of his best friends, they feature quite a lot in the Gospels, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. So this is the kind of house that Jesus is very friendly with. He's very comfortable in this home. And he rocks up to this house, and then suddenly this argument starts happening. Have you ever been in the middle of an argument where people are like, tell them to come and help me? And you trot over and then, you tell them! I'm with Jesus, etc., etc. And we have this fantastic image of Jesus being caught in the middle of an argument between two sisters. And there's lots of things we can pull out of this story. I've got three sentences for us this morning. Three sentences, all of them with the word present in. So I'm quite proud of the fact that we've managed to get all of this. So we've got three sentences this morning that I think we can take out of this story. And the first one is simply, can you live in the present? Can you live in the present? I'm going to tell you a story. There was once a fisherman, and the fisherman was sitting on a pontoon just by the edge of the sea. It was the middle of the morning, and the fisherman had already gathered the fish that he required for that day, and he was lying back in the sunshine on the pier. At that moment, a lawyer walked past and spotted the fisherman relaxing by the sea. And the lawyer said, I notice that you've got a boat and fishing equipment. What are you doing? Why are you not fishing? The fisherman turned to him and said, I've got my quota for today, thank you very much. And the lawyer says, but why don't you go out and do a bit more fishing? The fisherman turns to him and says, why would I want to do that? And the lawyer, thinking and a little bit smug with himself that this fisherman hasn't grasped the basic of business, says, don't you understand, if you go out fishing now, you can catch a few more fish, and instead of having them for today, you could sell them, and then you could save the money. Fisherman says, really? And why would I want to do that? The lawyer's getting up a bit of head of steam now, he's got a twinkle in his eye, thinking what an idiot this fisherman is, and with an opportunity to teach him something, says, well, what you could do is you could sell those fish, and then you could save the money, and then you could buy a bigger boat. Fisherman turns to him and again says, interesting, and why would I want to buy a bigger boat? The lawyer says, don't you understand, if you go out fishing now, you could save a bit of money, and you could do that again tomorrow, you could save up that money, you could buy a bigger boat. And then eventually, as you've got a bigger boat, you'll be more efficient, you'll catch more fish in a shorter amount of time, which means that you'll save the money quicker. You'll have exponential growth. Before long, you not only have one boat, you could have two boats, and you could hire a crew. And the fisherman turns to him and says, why would I want to hire a crew? The lawyer says, don't you understand, then you could have two boats, two crews. You could franchise out your business. Before long, you could have all these people working for you, catching fish. And the fisherman said, and why would I want to do that? The lawyer said, do you not understand that if you did that, you could have all these people catching your fish, then you could relax? And the fisherman said, what do you think I'm doing now? When God is talking to Moses in Exodus, there's a fantastic passage because God wants to talk to Moses. And he says this, he says, Moses, come up on the mountain and rest there. Or in other translations, it says, Moses, come up on the mountain and be all there. Other translations say, Moses, come up on the mountain and pay attention. Next one, please, Jess. Thank you. Because there's something in the heart of God that says, sorry, the next one. There's something in the heart of God that says, wherever it is that you are at, won't you just pay attention long enough? Stop being like the lawyer, always thinking about, if only we do this, then tomorrow will be different. And then tomorrow, and I caught myself once in an airport lounge planning my next holiday before I'd flown to that one. And I caught myself and I think, why? Sometimes you catch yourself in the day and before you've even had time to catch your breath, you're already planning your to-do list. You're like, okay, so today I've got to do this, 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 and this, and this. And God, when he wants to talk to Moses, says, come up the mountain and pay attention. The difference between Martha and Mary in the story was that
Mary valued the moment. She appreciated that, yeah, dinner might take a bit longer and then there was clearing up to do, but she appreciated that this was a moment that she could enjoy. The question that God asks us is, are you awake enough to see what I'm doing? When you come up the mountain, won't you pay attention long enough? Like the fisherman, won't you enjoy now without endlessly thinking about tomorrow? Jesus says to the people who gather around him at his famous sermon, stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Can't we be awake long enough today? Can we live in the present? And living in the present leads to my next sentence, which is, can you rest in the presence? Can you rest in the presence? Many of you will have read this book or at least heard about it. This is a fellow called Brother Lawrence who was a monk, and he became a monk and he was a bit annoyed because all of the good monk duties, not really sure what they are, but anyway, all of the good monk duties were taken, so this poor fellow was just stuck washing up. And he's washing up every day, and then this book is how Brother Lawrence understands that he can see washing up and the mundane things that he's called to do. He can see those as an act of worship to God. Can we rest in the presence? I think there's it's difficult in church, isn't it? Because we use a lot of phrases that no one else really understands. Have you ever noticed this? I try and avoid doing it. If I said to you, oh yeah, we've taken communion today to represent the fact we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, no one's battering an eyelid. Imagine if I said that to someone on the street. I said, what did you do this morning? I drank some wine to indicate the fact that I was washed in the blood of a lamb. Can you imagine the freaking out that would happen? We're in danger, I think, of because we understand. Imagine, you're washed. What are you doing in that church on a Sunday? You never go in there. Sometimes we're in danger of just using phrases like this. Oh, we want to rest in the presence without actually thinking about what they mean. So for us, washing in the blood of the Lamb, well, what we mean by that is that we understand that something that happened that Jesus did, we can be a part of that. And so the sins that we carry, we don't need to carry anymore. We can pass them over to him because of what Jesus did on the cross. That buys us our freedom now. In the same way, we use phrases like, oh, just rest in the presence of God. I mean, what does that mean, to rest in the presence of God? I mean, it's in the Bible quite a lot. It says again in Exodus, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. In Mark 6:31, Jesus says, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I've been thinking about what this actually means, to rest in the presence of God. Back to Moses. When God says to Moses, I want your attention, he says, come up on the mountain and pay attention. Be aware of where you are right now. This moment is special. Like Mary understood, this moment is special. I want to pay attention to it. I want to thank God for it. I want to be made aware of it. When God meets Moses in the desert and there's the burning bush, God says to Moses, come closer and take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. Holy ground. When you come into this, when you come into my presence, you need to take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. And sometimes I read that and I'm reminded of the great and awesome God that he is. And I just want to bow down and worship him for his infinite majesty. And sometimes I read that passage and think, when do I take my shoes off? And it's when I feel at home. Come in. Take your shoes off. Make yourself at home. There are places we go to where you open the door and you don't need to make any excuses for being late. There are places you go to where you don't have to ask permission to put the kettle on. There are places that you go to where you don't have to watch your language. There are places you go to that are home. And God says to Moses, take off your shoes because you are on holy ground. Can we rest in the presence of God in such a way that we are comfortable there? When Jesus dies and rises again, the temple curtain is torn in two. Why? Because you are welcome into his presence. You don't need to make excuses for being late. You don't need to watch what you say. You don't have to feel guilty about making yourself comfortable. God says, won't you rest in my presence? Can we live in the present? Can we rest in the presence? And finally, can we accept the present? See, Martha, when she's making this stuff for God, Jesus, same thing. When she's making this stuff for Jesus, then she's like, I imagine, in my mental image, I don't know, we all know Marthas, don't we? The kind of people who never quite sit down at the table when you're around there for dinner because they've always got to go and get another napkin or something like that. You know, always just rotating around, back and in and out of the kitchen party. You just want to just sit down for a minute. I want to talk to you. We've all got this picture in our mind. And when I think about Martha in this situation, I think of a person who is a little bit insecure and feels like she needs to prove something to Jesus. I mean, this is Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead. Her brother. So I feel that perhaps she's got something, maybe she feels she's got something to prove to this guy who's the Son of God, I don't know. But in my mind, I've got this picture of someone who's a little bit insecure, who keeps on trying, oh, if only I can, it needs to be perfect. It needs to be perfect. You know, we have those guests that come round and you want to make sure the house looks good for those guests. I mean, when they're really good mates, you don't really care that much, but it's like the important people. When they're coming round, you want to make sure the house is tidy. This is Martha. She's like, oh, everything has to be perfect for Jesus. And my question to you is simply, can you accept the present? When Jesus sits, he says to Mary, come sit at my feet, learn from me. That's what that phrase means, to become my kind of disciple, learn from me. It is all a present with God. God doesn't pay wages. He just gives good gifts. The only question is, are you going to accept it? Will you say yes? Do you feel that when you come to God, you have to prove yourself, that everything has to be perfect, that you have to keep on running around? Do you come to God with a sense that you're just trying to convince him that your life is good enough? Seems to me that's what Martha was doing. If you start trying to prove yourself to God, religion will kill you. Because there's always something else you can do. There's always one more charity you can give to. There's always one more thing you need to feel guilty about, one more thing you need to say sorry for, one more meeting you need to attend. If we have an attitude that, oh, we just need to prove ourselves to God, we'll never do it. By invitation, the gift, the present is what Mary accepted. Won't you just come and sit and be with me? Stop trying. Stop putting on a facade. Stop thinking that you're not good enough as you are. Come at my feet. Sit down, take your shoes off, make yourself at home. Live in this present. Can we live in the present? Can we rest in the presence? And can you accept the present? Because it's all free. It's all good. You don't have to work to earn it. Next week, we're going to look at the Last Supper as our penultimate meal with Jesus. But let's pray. Let's spend a moment acknowledging God's presence with us here right now. Enjoy this moment. And then we're going to finish this morning with a song. God, I ask that you would lift weights from our shoulders, that we wouldn't consider ourselves bound down and tied up by an endless list of jobs to do, that we would be able to stop, to listen, to enjoy, and be thankful. We don't take the moments that we have on earth for granted. We acknowledge that all of our life, all of our meals, all of our days, they are all gifts from you. And I ask that we would stop long enough to enjoy them. Amen.